Well, Gerald, the singing has been great today.
Thank you.
Meaningful because he has chosen songs that help focus our attention on the things that we're studying together. And so let me invite you to open your Bibles with me to John chapter 13 this evening, because we're going to be looking at what Jesus has to say about loving one another. For those of you who have driven some distance to be with us, our guests, we're just so thankful that you're here. I'm glad the Sparkmans and the Houchins have come to us from the Castleberry Church. And we've had some folks here from Louisville, I think, and some folks from Campbell Road. And so it's so encouraging to see that you want to get out on this Sunday evening and be with God's people and to be in God's Word together. And I pray God will bless you for your desire to do this as you have tonight. And for this church, it's just so good to be with you. Enjoyed being with you this afternoon over Danny's house. And we enjoyed being with Rhonda. Rhonda's house. What is it? Rhonda's house or Danny's house? I don't know. Oh, it's Rhonda's house. So it was nice to be at Rhonda's house this afternoon. But you know, you just can't be together without thinking of our dear brother, Bill. It's been nearly 30 years ago that we moved to the area, and one of the first things we did was we had a gospel meeting at this little storefront building, and we invited some preachers from the area to come and preach for us, and one of those was Don Mitchell. And so enjoyed that. I mean, his message was just so encouraging, so good. And that's where we got to meet Bill for the first time as well. And as I think about Bill through the years, all I can think about is just smiling encourager. And somebody who reflected the love for God's people that we all should have. His sacrifice, his effort, wherever he was, I would hear him around the country if he was traveling bragging about this church. He loves you. And so it's just wonderful to be able in this place with these people to talk about what it means to love one another. Because one of the challenges that Satan puts upon us is the idea that we focus on ourselves. And every time we focus on ourselves, our wants and our desires, we traipse down that road that leads to sin. Just like Eve did back in the garden as she thought about what things looked like to her. If she would have thought about what it meant to love God, she wouldn't have touched it, right? As we saw this morning. And if she would have thought about what it would have done to her husband, she would never have offered it to him, because she would have loved others. Sin is undone when we properly understand love. Love is about loving and obeying the Lord, and about obeying His Word and loving one another. So it's just something that we need to focus on. And one reason is because it's challenging to love others, isn't it? I mean, it's kind of universally true. Other people stink. You do too. And I do too. And that's why it's hard to love one another. And we need to constantly look at God. Look at Jesus Christ as an example of loving others. You think about God. God was someone, is someone, who doesn't need anybody else. He is totally self-sufficient. God doesn't sit there going, oh, sure, I'm missing something. I wish Tim would do something. No. God is totally self-sufficient, totally happy in and of himself, fulfilled within and of himself. And yet, as a totally self-sufficient being, he chooses to love others. It's just his nature. And having been created in his nature, we too are to reflect that ability to love one another. And the fact is, we need one another, because we are not like God, totally self-sufficient beings. We are totally dependent beings upon one another and upon God. And therefore, we should even more so learn this aspect of love we're going to talk about tonight. Now, we're going to look at it from John's Gospel, chapter 13. And as I said this morning, John writes about love 9 times in the first 12 chapters. But he focuses in on one night in the life of Jesus. It's found in chapters 13 through 17. And he describes this one night where Jesus is talking with his disciples in the upper room, and then they go to the Garden of Gethsemane. And during this whole time, they are speaking to one another. And during these hours, John says that Jesus talked about love 30 times. 30 times in one night, Jesus talks about love. Because love is something that he wants them to understand before he goes. And the first thing that he says about love is right here in John chapter 13. And we're going to read beginning in verse 1 what Jesus taught them about love. Verse 1. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart this world, to go to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And during supper, when the devil had already put it in the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from the Father and was going back to the Father, arose from supper, and he laid aside his outer garments, and taking a towel, he tied it around his waist, and then he poured water into a basin, and he began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. And he came to Simon Peter, who said, Lord, do you wash my feet? And Jesus answered him, What I'm doing, you do not understand now, but afterward you will understand. And Peter said to him, you shall never wash my feet. And Jesus answered him, if I do not wash you, you have no share with me. And Simon Peter said to him, Lord, then not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. And Jesus said to him, the one who is bathed does not need to be washed except his feet, but he is completely clean. And you are clean, but not every one of you. For he knew who was going to betray him. And that's why he said, not all of you are clean. And when he had washed their feet and put on the outer garments, he resumed his place and he said to them, do you understand what I've done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do just as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you then know these things, blessed are you if you do them. If you knew that you had one night before you died, how would you spend those last hours of your life? Let's say you felt pretty good, you were in good health, and you knew that you were going to die the next day. How would you spend those last hours of your life? I think a lot of us would spend our time maybe going to our favorite place, eating our favorite food, doing something that we've always wanted to do, but we've run out of time doing. But Jesus, knowing that he was going to die, spent these last hours on earth thinking about others. Thinking about others. And he spent this night encouraging them, even though he was the one dying. Teaching them things that would give them hope after he departed. Jesus spent his last hours on earth thinking about others, and in so doing teaches us to do the same. What John does in this text is he begins by teaching us what Jesus knew before he shows us what Jesus did. So notice what the text says that Jesus knew. He says that, John says, he knew that the cross was coming, that his hour had come to depart this world. Now, knowing that you're going to die is troubling enough, isn't it? If you knew you're going to die tomorrow. But knowing that you're going to die as the object of hatred and ridicule and pain on a Roman cross, that's not just troubling, that's terrifying. And most of us would say, if you knew you were going to die tomorrow, you would be quite justified to focus on yourself. Especially if it was going to be a terrifying, painful death. And yet Jesus, here knowing that the cross is coming, doesn't think about himself. He actually begins by thinking about others. In addition to that, John tells us in verse 11 and in verse 2 that he knew that he was going to be betrayed. In verse 11, he knew who was going to betray him. Verse 2, the devil had already put it in the heart of Judas Iscariot to betray him. Again, most of us, when somebody treats us wrong, we don't think about others. We think about ourselves, about how we're being mistreated. Most of the time when somebody does us wrong, we do one of two things. We either try to avoid them so that we don't have conflict and we stay safe, or we confront them so that we can get our revenge upon them. But Jesus doesn't do that. Jesus, knowing that he is going to be betrayed by Judas, doesn't ask the other 11 disciples to take him out behind the building and beat him up. No, what he does that night is he gives Judas every opportunity to repent, because he's thinking about what is good for Judas. And one of the things he does to help Judas is he washes his feet. In fact, when Judas went to take that money to betray Jesus, he may have had dirty hands, but he had clean feet. You think about that night when every one of those disciples, Peter, Andrew, James, John, all of them, that night when they ran away from Jesus because they were scared and thinking of themselves and not their Lord, they all ran away with clean feet. Jesus loved them, even though he knew they were going to betray him. Why do you do that? Jesus taught his disciples in the Sermon on the Mount that we are to love our enemies. We are to bless those who curse us. We are to do good to those who hate us. We are to pray for those who spitefully use us. Why? Why act like that? Because Jesus said, that's what your heavenly Father does. What the heavenly Father does is he sends rain upon the just and the unjust. He sends his Son indiscriminately to those who are good and to those who are evil. And he calls us to reflect his nature, to think about what is best for others, even if they're going to be the ones that betray us. And so John tells us these are the things Jesus knew. He was going to die. He was going to be crucified. He knew that his disciples were going to betray him and reject him. And then he said in verse 3, Jesus also knew that the Father had put all things into his hands and that he had come from God and he was going to God. He knew that while his friends were going to flee, he knew the Father was going to come near. And by the way, I love how verse 3 describes death. This is how it describes the cross. Listen, he was going to depart from this world and go to the Father. I think that's a great description of death. Death is where we depart from this world that is characterized by sin and corruption and death, and we go not to another place, but we go to another person. We go to the Father. What a beautiful way to describe death. He's going to depart from this world and go to the Father. Now again, if you were somebody who knew that tomorrow you were going to be able to go to such a wonderful place, you were going to experience wonderful peace and happiness, you just might not think very much about the people around you. You might be caught up in what is waiting for you. And yet, what John is keen for us to understand is Jesus on this night had every reason in the world to think about himself. I'm going to go to the Father. Forget you guys. Because you guys are going to do nothing but betray me. And in addition to that, because you're going to betray me, I am going to die, not just a simple death, I am going to go to the cross and be hurt because you betrayed me. Enough, you guys, I'm leaving. I'm just going to go be by myself. And yet Jesus doesn't do that. What Jesus does is, knowing all of those things, he still chose to love others. Now, one of the things that tells us, my friends, is that we have no excuse for not loving others and serving them. Now, most of us here, I don't think I'm surprising anybody in this room by saying that we ought to love others. Is that news to everybody? And that we ought to serve others. Is that surprising? I don't think so. We knew that. But why don't we do it? That's the question. And the answer to that is that we don't do it because when the opportunity to love others and serve others comes up, we have a lot of reasonable things, a lot of excuses that sound quite reasonable as why we can't do it right now. I mean, after all, I just don't have the time. I just don't really feel all that well today. I'm real busy with some other things. And then John tells us, look at Jesus. When Jesus picked up the towel to serve others, it was not because it was a convenient day. It wasn't because it was comfortable. He did it because that's just his nature. His nature is to care about others and not just be focused upon himself. I don't know if you know Matt Basford. Anybody know Matt Basford, that name? Some of y'all? We sing some of his songs in your songbook, the supplement book. A number of songs that are in there are penned by Matt Basford. Matt Basford is a man in his 40s. He has been preaching the gospel for a number of years. And just a few years ago, just a couple, 3 years ago, he learned he had ALS. It's a disease that quickly degenerates the body. And so he had to quit preaching. He has moved back to the Houston area where he lives with his wife's family. And as of a few weeks ago, he's wheelchair bound. He is not able to move his arms, his legs. And as of a few weeks ago, he was no longer able to eat. The only way he gets his nourishment is through a feeding tube. But one of the things he's been doing is charting his demise, his disease, for us on Facebook. And I tell you, it has been more of a worship opportunity, teaching opportunity, than it is to just feel sorry for someone. And this is what he wrote the other day. He says, this loss of being able to eat is the loss of my only remaining earthly pleasure. He says, it is the joys of the Spirit that are all that remain for me. The joys of the Spirit are the only things that remain for me. And then he writes this, but I drink deeply of the delights of loving and serving my brothers and sisters in Christ. And that's how he has spent his last days on this earth, is by loving and serving his brothers and sisters in Christ. And the things that he's said and the things that he has done, he has been every day waking up and thinking about how is he going to help brothers and sisters in Christ walk with God. And then he reflected on our passage. Look at chapter 13 and verse 1. It says, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from the world, having loved his own who were in the world. Notice this. He loved them to the end. And in this particular post, what Matt said was that phrase, he loved them to the end, is something he's always been impressed by. But he wonders if we shouldn't be inspired by. That when the senses of the body fail, and our abilities to do things fail. When we become weak, there still is this ability to love to the end. And then he writes this wonderful statement. He says, you know you've loved strong enough when you have no more strength. You know you've loved long enough when you've had no more time. And what I've learned from that is, you know, you don't have to have comfort and strength and all of your capabilities and abilities to love and serve others. You can do that even when the only ability that you have is to move your eyes on a screen and type in words for other people to hear, like he is doing right now. And then he applied it. He applied it to older people, older men and women. And he encouraged older men and women to, quote, not give up. Keep serving to the end. Love to the end. And then he said a word to young people. He said, younger brethren, do not be deceived. The complete range of earthly delights is open to you, but it is just as true for you as it is for me that it is only love that matters. And the best way to prepare to love God and others to the end is to start loving now. Choose the meaningful, he says, over the merely enjoyable. Well, Matt has reflected, for me at least, and for many of us, what the Lord Jesus reflected for his disciples here. He loved them to the end, even though he knew the cross was coming, even though he knew his betrayer was present, even though he knew that his presence with the Father was soon to come, he still loved others to the very end. And that's just a great encouragement to us to love others as well. In fact, that word end there, he loved them to the end, it's going to be found one other time in the Gospel of John. It's going to be the last word that Jesus says from the cross as he gives up his last breath and he says, it is finished. End. He loved us to the very end of his life. Would we be like him? Will we love others to the very end? Even when they don't deserve it. Even when it's not convenient or comfortable. Will we love others to the very end? Well, it's at this point that John says, now these are the things Jesus knew. Now knowing all of this, let's look at what Jesus did to show love to his brethren. First of all, he washed their feet. Obviously, that's the point of this text. That's what the story says. And the reason he did that, why? Because their feet were dirty. There was a need. And he took the initiative to meet the need. And by the way, that's a great definition of love. Love is the ability to see the needs in others and be willing to get your hands dirty to help meet it. People who love have eyes that are perceptive and hands that are dirty, helping meet those needs. And that's what Jesus does here. And yet in the story of Jesus washing the disciples' feet, Jesus is acting out a parable here as well. He signals this to Peter when he tells Peter that what I am doing in washing your feet is more than just getting dirt off of your feet. I am showing you what I am doing for you. In fact, if I don't wash your feet, you can't be my disciple, he says to Peter. What's that all about? Well, you know, Jesus often told parables. But like Ezekiel, sometimes Jesus acted out parables. And this is one of the times that he did. And in this text, what it says that Jesus did is that he laid his garments aside. And then he took up the towel and he cleansed their feet. He washed their feet. And then he took his garments and he put them back on. And in doing this, what Jesus is doing is he is giving them a parable of the cross. The only time that John is going to talk about Jesus laying aside his clothes again is going to be right before the cross. And when he goes to the cross, his clothes are laid to the side. And then what does he do? He goes to the cross to make us clean. And then he is raised from the dead and given a glorified body by which we see that he is indeed Lord and Master. What Jesus is doing for the disciples here is to show them what he is about to do for them on the cross. And the reason that is important, because not only did he wash their feet on this occasion, but Jesus also exposed their pride. One of the reasons we think about ourselves and not others as we ought is because we're too filled with pride. And in fact, we learn in the other gospel accounts that what they are doing that night at the Passover is, while Jesus is thinking about his own crucifixion, their betrayal, and going to the Father, they're sitting there wondering who's going to be in the first and second place in the kingdom of heaven. They're arguing about who's going to be greatest. They are fighting about who's going to sit upon the throne, and nobody is concerned about picking up the towel. And so Jesus confronts them with their pride. And he says to Peter, Peter is kind of the model of their pride that he's going to work on. And what he says to Peter is, Peter, you don't realize you need me. If I don't wash your feet, you have no part in me. And so he makes this statement, well, you know, not my feet, my whole body also. And he's showing that he doesn't understand that what Jesus is saying to him is that what his service gives to Peter is something that Peter needs that nobody else can give other than Jesus. And he's teaching Peter, teaching all of us as a result, that we are totally dependent upon the Lord. If it wasn't for the Lord thinking of others and serving us, we couldn't be clean. We couldn't be forgiven. We couldn't have hope to be with the Father. Now, that to me is astounding. To see that the way that cleansing happens is through the service of Jesus Christ. And then he calls us to carry on that same work. Now, here's the nobility of service. Here's the nobility of thinking about others. And that is, when we love others and we serve them for their good, what results is it is good for their soul, and it releases the blessings of God in this world. You know, sometimes we go get books that are written by people who've done business really well, and we read those books and we see, wow, they did that in their business and they were that successful. I'm going to read that book. I'm going to do just what they did so I can be just as successful as they were. I tell you, it doesn't get any more successful than Jesus. What Jesus did cleanses souls for eternity and brings the blessings of God in this world. And if you want to do the same kind of thing, there's nothing better than reading what Jesus did and doing what Jesus did, thinking about others and serving their need. Well, then in verse 12, notice that Jesus exposes the pride of all of the disciples. They called him teacher and Lord, and therefore they thought he was the last one that should be washing their feet. And so Jesus says, well, if I am your teacher and Lord, and I have washed your feet. Now, I know we know this text, and we know how it ends. But just imagine if you don't know this text. And here is somebody who is your master and Lord, and he has shown how selfish and prideful you are because you guys weren't willing to wash one another's feet. And he then willingly bowed himself, humbled himself, and washed your feet. And then he backs up and says, okay, I am your Lord and Master, and I washed your feet. What then should you do? You expect him to say, well, we should have washed your feet. And Jesus doesn't say that. Jesus says, if I have done this for you, you ought to wash one another's feet. Here's the thing he's teaching us about loving God and serving others. And that is If Jesus came in this room today and he had some need, his feet were dirty or any other thing, we would fall all over ourselves to meet that need, wouldn't we? If he was hungry, anybody fix him anything to eat? If he needed clothes, would any of us go get Jesus some clothes? If Jesus' feet were dirty, would any of us be willing to get down on the ground and wash them? All of us would. That's not the problem. The problem is, I don't want to meet your need. And Jesus said, the way that you meet my need is by loving and serving one another. And so Jesus said, you remember in Matthew 25, that as much as you did it to one of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. One of my favorite statements in this regard is found in Hebrews. Look at Hebrews chapter 6 with me for a minute. Hebrews chapter 6. And in verse 10. In chapter 6, he has been just strongly warning the believers that the weakness of their faith might cost them their souls. And then he says, but I think of better things concerning you. And then he reminds them of their past in verse 10. For God is not unjust, so as to overlook your work and your love that you have shown for his name in serving the saints as you still do. You see that? The way that we love God is that we love and serve others. And so that's where it gets tough. But Jesus wants us to see that one another, by serving and loving one another, is the way that we serve and love him. Well, this text began with Jesus knowing some things and then doing some things. Notice how it ends. It ends with us knowing some things and doing some things. Now again, I want to say, how many of us are surprised by this sermon? Wow, I didn't know any of that. You knew all that. We're supposed to love and serve one another. So why don't we do it? He says, if you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. The way of blessing, what brought curse into the world? What brought curse into the world is when humanity said, God, I'm not thinking about you. I'm not even thinking about the spouse that you've given me. The man not thinking of the woman. The woman not thinking of the man. And they just take what is good for them. And that brought curse into the world. What chases curse out of the world is what we talked about this morning. When you love the Lord your God to the extent that you do what he says. And when you do what he says and you love and serve others, it's good for them. And that's what he says brings blessedness, joy, peace into the world. Well, what's interesting in the story of John is that there is another story about a basin of water in John's gospel. It's going to happen in just a few hours from this point. And this basin of water is going to be used by Pilate. Pilate is going to have a choice. Here's Pilate's choice. I am in a delicate situation here. If I side with Jesus, who is righteous, then the people are not going to like me. Or I can just side with the people and I can continue to be liked. So here is his choice. I can choose to live for myself, my pleasure, and my position. Or I can choose to think about someone else and put myself on the line for doing what is right and good for them. And what does Pilate do? He uses the basin to wash his own hands and live for himself. And he is infamous as a sinner. But then we have, in contrast, the example of Jesus. He took a basin of water and he did what was good for others, even though they didn't deserve it at the time. And that's the decision we've got every day. We got our little basins of water, and we get to decide whether I'm going to live for myself and be like Pilate, or whether I'm going to see the needs of others love them, and serve them for their good and God's glory. Which basin will we use? God, help us choose the right one. Yeah. I hope this has encouraged us to get out of our own self-centered little shelves and think about others just as Jesus did on the night before he died. If you need to respond to the gospel, we'd love to help you do that tonight. We're going to sing this song to encourage you to do it. And what is our song, brother?
263, Is Thy Heart Right with God?
Is Thy Heart Right with God? So let's think about that as we stand and sing together.